So, all glory to Nityananda Ram. Hi, Nityananda Ram. Sri Nityananda is the, of course, the expansion of Baladev. And Baladev, Balaram, is the first expansion of Krishna. So we explained this sometime recently here, that Krishna, he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we have this, Prabhupada writes in this way, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what does that mean? We should understand what that means. So Godhead, this is, Krishna has two different types of incarnations, Swamsa and Vibhinamsa. So the Swamsa incarnations, or expansions rather, are those personalities who have the same potency as Krishna. In other words, they're God. They have all the same potency, but they have different appearance and different function. And Krishna, he is the original. So first Krishna expands as Balaram. Balaram expands as what's called the Chatur Vyuha, Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev. And then another Chatur Vyuha. And then the last Vasudev, he expands as Mahavishnu and so on like this. So there's many different expansions of the Lord. And so all of them together, we can call the Godhead. Okay? So, actually when I was a new devotee, I was puzzled for several years. What does this mean, Godhead? Because if you look in the English dictionary, the translation is just God. So it doesn't really say much, because in the Western traditions, we don't actually have this understanding of expansions of God and so on. So how do they translate that in your Slovenian? Do you have some? Oh, you don't have that. You don't have that confusion. Okay. Maybe you're saved from that. How do you call it then?
Divine personality, all supreme divine personality.
Okay, that's all right. Well, yeah, anyway, the idea of Godhead is important in some way. Anyway. So Balaram, he's equal to Krishna in every way. The only difference between Balaram and Krishna is that Balaram is white and Krishna is blackish. Other than that, Balaram has the same potency. But because Krishna is original, therefore Balaram takes the position of being the servant of Krishna. And he engages in providing all the paraphernalia for Krishna's pleasure pastimes. So Krishna, being the original Godhead, he plays. That's all he has to do, play. Maybe you heard there is one German philosopher, German fellow scientist, I think it was. This is during Bhakti Siddhanta's time. He went to India. He was trying to search out who is God. So he had read, you know, in Germany they have many books from India. They're interested in these things. And so this fellow, he went to India and he was looking around trying to find out who is God. So finally he came to a temple of Krishna. And he sees, oh here, this person, he's playing a flute and dancing. So this must be God. Because all the other temples, all the other deities, they're always engaged in some kind of activity, doing something or other. But this fellow, he thought, well, this person, he's just singing and dancing. Therefore, this is God. So, rather intelligent. Huh? Good use of his speculative capacity. Anyway, so, Balaram is servant of Krishna. Now, Balaram also, so Krishna, he comes as, expands as Lord Chaitanya, both for the purpose of being the Yuga Avatar, to deliver the Yuga Dharma, or the chanting of the holy names, as the religion for the age of Kali. And also, his internal reason was that he wanted to taste the pleasure that Srimati Radharani experiences in loving him. And so he came for these two purposes. And when the Lord comes, all of his entourage also comes with him. So we explained last week about Advaita Acharya Prabhu being one of those expansions, or rather one person in his entourage. Now today we have the appearance of Nityananda, who is the expansion of Balaram. And in this pastime also, Balaram Nityananda Ram, he also takes the same role in relationship to Chaitanya. That is, he's the servant of Lord Chaitanya. And that's his purpose, is to facilitate the pastimes of the Lord. So he takes that role in serving the Lord. So in reading about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, of course we also hear about Lord Nityananda and what he is doing to serve the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya, he gave the task of asking everyone to chant Hare Krishna. He specifically asked Nityananda to preach in Bengal while he was in Puri. Can we turn that off so it doesn't do that? Thank you. Oh, that's the screensaver, is it? Oh. Okay. Just put your finger on it now and again so it doesn't jump back. Okay. Thank you. Where were we? Oh yeah, so Nityananda, he's serving Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, he gave him the task of preaching in Bengal. And in the early pastimes, Lord Chaitanya, he asked Nityananda and Haridas Thakur to go around and ask everybody to chant the holy name of Krishna. Of course, at that time in Navadvip was one of the education capitals of India. And India being what it is, there was at that time, of course, many Mayavadis, impersonalists, who thought they had the idea that God is one, that we are God, we are all God. So they would greet each other like that, aham brahmasmi, or someone like that, that I am, the God in me honors the God in you, something like this. I think that's the way they translate it today. Anyway, this Mayavadi conception, that we're all God. And, of course this is offensive, because what kind of God are we that gets sick, that has mental problems? Huh? What kind of God is that? Very unfortunate God. So-called God. Anyway, at that time there were so many people like that. And so it was difficult. It was probably as difficult as preaching is today. And some of you probably already have some experience going out asking people, here, take this wonderful book about spiritual knowledge. And they all say, no, I'm not interested in that. Maybe it was easier then, maybe it's easier now, we don't know. In any case, it's difficult in both times because the world is filled with personalities who are atheistic or who are simply intent on being the enjoyer themselves. So, anyway, so Lord Nityananda, I had this task, and of course the one principal pastime that we hear about is Lord Nityananda is that they wanted to spread the glories of Lord Chaitanya, and they thought, well, let's convince these two low-life people, these two drunken brothers, Jagai and Madai. If we can convince them, then Lord Chaitanya will get a big reputation. What, he converted those fellows? They had such a reputation like that, that they were, everybody knew how fallen and degraded they were. We have some personalities like that on the planet. Now everybody knows like that. Anyway, so they made the attempt. Haridas Thakur, he wasn't very much in favor of the idea. He thought, it ain't going to work. Let's not do that. But Lord Nityananda was insisting, yes, let's go for it. Let's distribute the mercy to everybody. And so Haridas says, okay, you go first. I'm right behind you. So Lord Nityananda, he approached him and he asked, "Dear brothers, please chant the holy name of Krishna so that you can become happy." And you can understand the expected reaction that Haridas was right. They weren't so favorable. And so they cursed him, chased him away, tried to harass him. But Lord Nityananda, he was insisting that let me give the mercy of Mahaprabhu. So he was insisting, pushing like this. And so he was pressing on them. So finally then, who's it, Jagai or Madai? Jagai, huh? Picked up the pot. Madai, huh? The rascal Madai. Picked up the pot, threw a pot at him, and hit him in the head, made him bleed. And so Lord Chaitanya, when he heard about this, he became furious that who has attacked Lord Nityananda? I'll kill him instantly. So he called for his Sudarshan Chakra and went there immediately to the spot to kill him. But Lord Nityananda was begging him, "No, my Lord, no, don't. And Lord Chaitanya said, but he's wounded you. No, but why should you? No, if you kill him, you're going to have to kill everybody. Because everybody is so fallen like this. So, but this is not your mission in this incarnation. You've come to save these fallen people. So please, do that." So Lord Chaitanya, Jagai and Madai, they could understand they were in serious trouble, right? They could see the Sudarshan Chakra, they thought, that wasn't a good thing to do. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya said, "I'll forgive you, if you never offend Vaishnavas again. And also, you have to make some atonement." Anyway, so the brothers, they became convinced to accept the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And then they actually, Lord Chaitanya instructed them that you create a bathing ghat on the Ganga. And that ghat is still there. Madai ghat, I think it's called. And so that ghat is there. And then when people would come to take bath in the Ganga, then the brothers would serve all those pilgrims, those devotees. So this way, Nityananda was showing by this his great mercy. So I want that we can sing a few songs. Do you know this tune? Some harmonium player knows this tune? Borosukar Gabargai? Yeah? Okay. So maybe you can lead. Do you have a microphone?
You can lead.
Yeah? Okay. Let me have some kartal then. So this is a song by Bhaktivinod Thakur. Click on that button. There's these, see the button that says document? Click on the one that says document up there. Yep. Okay, now scroll down a little bit. Okay, thank you. So you keep up with these scrolling, okay? So we'll sing this, we'll sing each line twice. Boro sukhe ka borgai, boro sukhe ka borgai. Boro sukhe ka borgai, boro sukhe ka borgai. Sura bikunje te name hatule che. Sura bikunje te name hatule che. Kaurunita, Kaurunita. Koranita, Koranita,
Koranita, Koranita.
Borimolche katata, borimolche katata. Paramoja Tata Tai, Paramoja Tata Tai. Saramale Sudanam Sehatai. Saram. Saramale Sudanam Sehatai. Koranita, Koranita,
Koranita,
Koranita, Koranita, Jatabhakta Vrindavasi, Jatabhakta Vrindavasi. Jatabhakta Vrindavasi, Jatabhakta Vrindavasi. Hare Hare Deke Nama Veche Dara Kasi.
Hare
Hare Deke Nama Veche Dara Kasi. Koranita, Koranita,
Koranita,
Koranita, Koranita, Koranita, Jaranama kin be bhai, Jaranama kin be bhai, Jaranama kin be bhai. Amara sangha chalo kamche vichintai. Amara sangha chalo mahajane kache jai. Kauranita, Kauranita,
Kauranita, Kauranita,
Kauranita, Kauranita,
Kauranita, Kauranita.
Tumne kende Krishna naam, tumne kende Krishna naam. Tumne kende Krishna naam, tumne kende Krishna naam. Tasri lai ba me puna ve ka. Tasri lai ba me puna ve ka. Koranita, Koranita. Koranita, 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 Nityananda, Vardaya Nityananda, Vardaya Nityananda, Vardaya Nityananda, Paramatma 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 Koranita, Koranita,
Koranita, Koranita,
Mor sukha kavara, Mor sukha kavara, Mor sukha kavara, Mor sukha kavara, Sarabik leite namah hakuleche. Sarabik leite namah hakuleche.
Koranita, Koranita,
Koranita, Koranita,
Koranita, Koranita,
Koranita, Koranita,
Koranita, Koranita,
Koranita, Koranita.
Shri Nityananda Ram Ki. I'm singing the news of the greatest happiness at the place known as Surabhi Kunj in Srinavadweep. The marketplace of the holy name has now been opened, and Lord Nityananda himself is the proprietor. Such wonderful things are going on in that blissful marketplace. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is selling the pure holy name wholesale, namely for the price of one's faith. Seeing the assembly of devotees eagerly waiting to purchase the name, Lord Nityananda first examines each one of them to test their qualification. Then he sells them the name by bargaining for his price accordingly. Oh, my dear friends, if you really want to buy this pure holy name, then just come along with me, for I am now going to meet with this Nityananda Mahajan. Thus, you will finally be able to acquire the pure holy name. I will take my due commission, and in this way, all three of us will fulfill our desires. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is so extraordinarily merciful, accepting only one's faith in the holy name. He bestows the topmost divine bliss. So this song gives... Oh, here. Did we do all eight? Uh-oh. We only did six? Nope. I scrolled back to the top first. Oops. Okay, we'll read it in translation. When Nittai sees a tear welling in someone's eye upon chanting the name Gora, he instantly gives his support to that person. Indeed, he bestows all divine opulences. We didn't do that? Dan Chuda Krishna Sika? He gives that person genuine realization of the pure teachings of Sri Krishna found in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. While displaying all of this inconceivable mercy, he pays no attention to one's caste, material wealth, mundane knowledge, or physical ability. Now, dear friends, please reject all of Maya's entangling snares. If you are a householder, then just remain at your home. If you are renounced, then just live in the forest. Does that mean I have to go to the forest? Either way, nothing more will trouble you. We no longer need to fear the terrible age of quarrel. For the most merciful Lord Nityananda gives the holy name to anyone and everyone, even to the lowest among men. Srila Bhaktivinoda loudly calls out and proclaims to all, other than the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there is no shelter. So, Lord Nityananda, we want to get his mercy, because by getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then we can get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So, we approach the Lord through his servants. So we approach the Lord through the spiritual master and also through Nityananda Prabhu. So then there's one other very nice song about Nityananda Prabhu. It's called Manas Shiksha, which is a song by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. You know that one? Yeah, well, I'm not so good either, as you can tell. I don't sing these on a regular basis. Better if you lead. Or somebody else knows it? Somebody has some experience with that? All the kirtaniyas? Okay. We're all in the same boat. Okay, so. Yeah, you can click on the audio. See if it'll play. This is a Chutananda Swami singing the audio. Huh? Did you click on it? What happened to our brahmacharis? They're all gone. They're downstairs cooking or what? Yeah? Is there somebody who knows how to work the Veda base, the folio? They can sit over there and... Can you see that it says, no. Not connected. Okay. Okay.
Let's try this.
I'll try this way. Okay, we'll just try it without that. Okay, enough out of you. Prabhupada would sing this song. Now and again, there's several recordings of Prabhupada singing this song along with giving the purport that you can read. Prabhupada gave purport to many different songs, and so they're very nice to read. Nitai pada kamala kote chanda shishutala Nitai pada kamala Kote chanda shishu tahala Nitai pada kamala Kote chanda shishu tahala Nitai pada kamala Kote chanda shishu Jai Jai Jagat Jarai Eno Nittai Bina Bhai Radha Krishna Pai Titai Eno Nittai Bina Bhai Radha Krishna Pai Titai Nita dine bhai, Krishna Nida kore dana nita pai Nida kore dana nita pai Se sambandha nahi ja Vika janne gilo ta Se sambandha nahi ja Vika janne gilo ta Hey sambandha nahi ja bika janma gelo ta Hey sambandha nahi ja bika janma gelo ta Hey pasu Hey Pasu Boru Durata Nitena Bali Lamukhe Vajila Samsara Shukhe Nitena
Nityananda Bali Lama Ke Majino Samsara Sukhe Nityananda Bali Lama Ke Vidya Kule Ki Kari Beta
Vidya Kule Ki Kari
Beta Ahamkare Mata Hoyla Nittai Pada Pasariya
Ahamkare Mata Hoyla
Ahankara mata hoyla nikai para pasariya Asatire satya tore mani Asakure Sanya Kore Vani Vikaya Koruna Habe Vajrada Kisha Pabe Nitya Karuna Habe Vraja Radha Krishna Pave
Nitya
Karuna
Habe
Vraja Radha Krishna Pave Charanita charana dukani
Charanita charana
dukani Nitya charana satya tahara seva kamita Nitaya charana satya tarana taira kamicha
Nitya
para sara toro asha Nitya para sara toro asha Narottama Bora Duki Nitai More Saro Suki Narottama Bora Duki Nitai More Saro Suki Takaranga charanera pasha Takaranga charanera pasha Rakaranga charanirupasa
Rakaranga charanirupasa
Lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are a shelter where one will get the soothing moonlight, not only of one, but of millions of moons. If the world wants to have real peace, it should take shelter of Lord Nityananda. Unless one takes shelter of the shade of lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, it will be very difficult for him to approach Radha and Krishna. If one actually wants to enter into the dancing party of Radha and Krishna, he must firmly catch hold of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. So, this moonlight, Prabhupada, many places he describes as the cooling moonlight. And actually, it's very interesting that the moonlight is cooling. The sunlight heats up. If you go in the sun, everybody, we know, we have experience. But if you take a thermometer, when some night when it's full moon, you put one thermometer in the shade, and you put one in the sun, and rather in the moonlight, the one in the moonlight will be cooler than the one that's in the shade. Yeah, it's a fact. So the moonlight is very cooling. So everybody in Kali Yuga is burning with the fever of lust, so we take shelter of the cooling rays of feet of Lord Nityananda. If one wants to have real peace, one must take shelter of Lord Nityananda. Without that, it will be very difficult for him to approach Radha and Krishna. So for all of us, this is where we want to go. This is our ultimate destination for all Vaishnavas, to enter into these pleasure pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So therefore, we must beg for the mercy of Lord Nityananda to be able to enter into those loving pastimes. Anyone who has not established his relationship with Nityananda Prabhu is understood to have spoiled his valuable human birth. So how do we establish a relationship? So Lord Nityananda, he's a person just like we are persons, and we all have experience in so many relationships, how we establish relationships. By approaching, inquiring, serving, like this. So we should approach Nityananda. So we're very fortunate here. We have the whole Panchatattva. We have Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. So we should pray to them on a daily basis. Come before the Lord, make your prayers to Lord Nityananda. Ask for his mercy. Beg him to help, to give you guidance in your spiritual life, how to make progress, what to do next. Especially when we get stuck. And all of us, sooner or later, sometime, we get stuck. Things seem very difficult. And at that time, especially, we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So, Narottam Das Thakur here, he goes on, he says, such a person who has not established his relationship with Nityananda Prabhu, he's actually an uncontrollable animal. So, there's controllable animals, but there's uncontrollable animals, like a tiger or something like that. You can't trust them. You don't know what they're going to do. So, these persons, these human beings, so-called human beings, they're called Dvipada Pashu, a two-legged animal. So you don't know what they're going to do because everything they do is based on sense gratification. They may appear at one point to be nice and cultured and even friendly, but if the sense gratification is threatened in some way, then they won't hesitate to strike. So, such persons, those who haven't established a relationship with Lord Nityananda, is considered an uncontrollable animal because he has never uttered the name of Nityananda. He has become merged in so-called material happiness. So this is a very unfortunate position for all the fallen souls in this age, that they're trying to find, squeeze some pleasure out of material sense gratification. But it's not possible. Because material pleasure is only one side of the duality of sukha and dukkha. So these two go together. Sukha, happiness, dukkha, distress. And one cannot have, you can't have one without the other. But everybody's trying to do that. They're trying to get the sukha without the dukkha. Because they're going after a sense pleasure, thinking, this is sukha. This is happiness. But they don't realize that the very act of attempting to find pleasure in sense gratification means that they are also creating distress. So the dukkha will follow, certainly. It's just a matter of time. So very unfortunate persons. If they will utter, they will chant the name of Lord Nityananda, then they can begin to enter into real happiness. Real happiness is there within us. It's not something outside that we have to go find. But the spirit soul, our nature is Satchit Ananda. We're eternal beings filled with knowledge and blissful. That we're pleasure seeking. We want to find happiness, but we have to know where to look. So therefore, if we take shelter of Lord Nityananda and approach him, chant his name, then we will get the mercy of the Lord and he will help us. We can begin then to taste the real happiness, spiritual happiness that is our nature. What can his useless education and family tradition do to help him? So many people like this in the world, they are trying to exploit, as Prabhupada says, trying to exploit the resources of material nature. So everybody takes advantage of the persons that they know, especially family members. Of course, this, I don't know what your traditions are here so much, but in India, of course, you know, they have extended families, your cousin brothers and cousin sisters and so on. And they use this network of family to try to enhance their material position. So everybody's depending on that. So I have a very highly placed family, and they become proud of such family. Or they become proud of their education, thinking that their education or their family will help them. But actually, without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, this so-called material help is simply what we call, what the Bhagavatam calls fallible soldiers. You know how to translate that, fallible soldiers? This one's always difficult to translate. This is from the second canto, first chapter, text number 5. For future reference, look it up. Soldiers are supposed to be strong and give defense. And so, soldiers are supposed to be strong and protect one. But all these things that we take shelter of in this material world, the family, society, our job, our income, our position, these are called fallible soldiers because at the time of death, they cannot help anybody. We may reach out to them because if we simply, in our entire life, we take shelter of these things, then naturally, at the time of death, we're going to reach to those things for shelter. But they won't be able to help. So therefore, one must learn how to take shelter of Nityananda Prabhu. In this way, if one reaches out to him at the time of death, one will actually find the shelter that one's looking for. Being maddened after false prestige and identifying with the body, one is thinking, oh, what is Nityananda? What can he do for me? I don't care. The result is that he is accepting something that is false to be truth. If you actually want to approach association of Radha and Krishna, you must first achieve the mercy of Lord Nityananda. When he is merciful toward you, then you will be able to approach Radha and Krishna. Therefore, you should firmly grasp the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Again, this false prestige and identification with the body, these are the fallible soldiers, things that people take shelter of. Taking shelter, what do we mean by that? We take shelter of. It means so we feel ourselves secure in their surrounding. Okay, we have our position, we have respect from other people, we have our family members, and when we're surrounded by those things, we have shelter. So everybody needs shelter in this world. We need to feel some security from something. And so we're trying to achieve some position, make our body attractive in some way, so that through to exploit the opulences that we may have, beauty, strength, knowledge, wealth, renunciation, and so on, that we exploit those resources to try to achieve some position. But these things, again, they are simply false shelter. And at the time of death, no help is there. So people are thinking like that. Just like if we go out to distribute books, sometimes you may have some experience. My dear sir, please take this wonderful book about, it'll explain to you about spiritual life. Well, who needs that? You know, they're falsely proud. We don't need that. I'm not interested in that. Why do I need that? So they sound like this. Oh, what is Nityananda? What can he do for me? What can that book do for me? I don't need that. So they're accepting false to be truth. That means they accept this world which is false. In that, it's temporary. There's no shelter here. They think it's real, that it's true. But actually it's false because here today, gone tomorrow. So again, this is repeated in every sloka. If we want to get the association of Radha and Krishna, we must approach Lord Nityananda and get his mercy. Grasp the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. So the lotus feet, you can see here we have these nice lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. But there's also a pair, I don't know if they sell them in the shop, there's the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Also, one can meditate on the lotus feet of the Lords. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are not illusion, they're a fact. What does that mean? That means that we can take shelter of them. That there's something there. It's not just some figment of the imagination. Not just some idea or, you know, good idea. People, they think there's some shelter in these good ideas, you know. But, no. It's saying here, the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are not illusion, they're a fact. There's something substantial there, something actually tangible. But one has to, again, to experience that, one has to cultivate the relationship with Lord Nityananda in order to experience that. So, if you have your own house, you have your deities there, you can keep either the picture or the murti of Gaur Nitai and serve the Lords some little bit every day. Give them water. If you're cooking, you cook for the intention for the Lord to eat. Like this. You think that this is the Lord's house and I'm living here as the Lord's servant. And in this way, you develop your relationship with the Lord by rendering service to Him. And in this way, the lotus feet of the Lord, they become very real. One who engages in the transcendental living service of Nityananda is also transcendental. Always try to catch the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. This Narottam Das is very unhappy. Therefore, I am praying to Lord Nityananda to make me happy. My dear Lord, please keep me close to your lotus feet. So we should make this our prayer also. You know, I don't most of you here were Catholic, right? This is a Catholic country or was a Catholic country, so like that. You know, when we're children, our parents, they would teach us to say our prayers at night, right? We would say, God bless mommy, God bless daddy, and my brother too. Like that. So this could be our nighttime prayer, when we're going to sleep. My dear Lord, please give me the shelter of your lotus feet. Please keep me close to your lotus feet. This should be our nighttime prayer and our morning time prayer. When we come before the deities also. Let's make this our constant prayer. And then these lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, we will experience them as a fact. We will experience that there's real shelter there. And when we appeal to the Lord for His shelter, we will feel that. I'll tell you a little story. What time we're supposed to stop? Do we have time for one? A little bit? Okay. I'll tell you one story because I forget when I've told these stories, but it's a nice story that and maybe some of you didn't hear it before. But it's a story about how we get spiritual protection. many years ago, 1988, I guess, something like that. One fellow that I was working with, he was studying, he was taking classes at a school to learn how to become psychic, to have psychic ability. And the students from the school, they could invite their friends or somebody to come to the school to have an aura reading. They would tell you what your aura looked like. So this fellow asked me if I wanted to go with him, and I said, okay, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what is my aura. So we went into a large room about three times the size of this room. And the way it worked is they had three students sitting in a chair, and you would sit opposite of them. And there was four stations like this set up in the room. So my friend sat down in one place, I sat down in another one. And after a few minutes, across the room, I could hear them telling him, "Oh, your aura is blue or red or whatever," like this. And the students who were supposed to be reading my aura, they were sitting there. Of course, they do this with their eyes closed, right? Because it's psychic. You don't need your eyes. So, with their eyes closed, and they're making big yawns, like this. And so I think, well, this is, and I'm starting to think this is bogus. There was one teacher in the room, and she kept walking back and forth and looking at me from my feet to my head and back down to my feet. She was going, like that. She did that about three times. So finally, she said to me, "Excuse me, do you have a spiritual teacher?" I said, "Yes." "Oh, who is that?" "Bhaktivedanta Swami." "Well, he must be very powerful because, you see, we cannot see your aura. You're surrounded by this column of white light, and we can't see inside of it." Huh? Yeah. So she said, "I'm sorry, we can't give you an aura reading because we can't see it." So she said, "Well, maybe if you ask your guru if he'll open the curtain, we can see inside. Maybe that'll work." So I tried that. I asked Prabhupada, "Can you let them have a peek?" And then they said something. I don't know if it was, you know, whatever. Anyway, this is the protection that we get from chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Huh? Prabhupada always said we should chant our japa so that we have spiritual protection. So let me explain to you a little bit more from this story. You'll understand how this is so. So after this experience, I could understand these people that they've got some ability. Huh? They can actually see something. And so I thought it'd be interesting to have such ability. So I signed up to take the course, which is the idea of giving these free aura readings, I'm sure. So I signed up to take the course. And then when I came to the class, I'd come into the room and the teacher was there, and he looked at me and he said, "Oh," he said, "you're doing some kind of meditation, huh?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Don't do that. We don't like that." Okay. I just humored him. "Yeah, okay." Of course, I continued to chant. Next week, I came to class again. Come in the door, and the teacher just looks at me like that. "No? Oh, you're still doing this meditation, are you?" "Yes." "Don't do that. We don't like that." Okay, okay. Third week, you can guess what happened. I come in the door. He says, "I thought I told you to stop." I said, "Yes, but that doesn't mean I'm going to." He said, "You don't understand. When you come in this room, you change the energy of the entire room. And if you're not going to stop, then don't come back." So I just turned around and left. So look at that, huh? You come in the room, you change the energy of the entire room. Huh? So this is the potency of chanting. It not only benefits us, not only do we get spiritual protection, but it benefits everybody. Huh? Whoever comes in, they don't even have to come in contact with us, just by being near us. So many people receive benefit from this. So this is the result of Taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Taking shelter of the Maha Mantra. By meditating on Krishna's name, by associating with Krishna. We're protected like this spiritually. So, this is not an illusion. There's lotus feet. This is very, very real. But we have to endeavor for that. I'll tell you another short story. Some years ago, I decided that I was going to very seriously follow all four regulative principles. And so I did some research in Prabhupada's, on the database. You can close that. You can close the computer. Or shut it off, whatever. So I was researching the database, how to conquer over sex desire. And two things that came up repeatedly, Prabhupada wrote that one cannot conquer over sex desire without worshipping the deity. And the other one is that by taking shelter, that one can conquer over sex desire by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So I started to do that. I followed those instructions. And my method was, whenever my mind would become agitated by sex desire, I immediately would think of the lotus feet of the Lord. And the way I would do it is see the deities, Radha and Krishna, in front of me, like up above. You know, I'd go and I would put my head right on the bottom of Krishna's lotus feet. Like this. This is how I was taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And it works. It works. So I always recommend that you take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Try this. And then they become very real. This is my experience. They become real. It's not just some idea. But one can actually find shelter there in the lotus feet of the Lord. So please do that. Apply that in your life. Think of the Lord's lotus feet repeatedly. You know, there's many prayers in the Bhagavatam about this. You can, if you have the Veda base, and if you don't have the Veda base, you can get it. You can get it for free at krishnapath.org. At least the original books are there. Anyway, so you can research in the Bhagavatam. There's many, many slokas that are always encouraging the devotees to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. So here we have, just in this temple room, here we have the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, Lord Krishna, Radha. So we should understand this principle and apply it in our lives. Think of the Lord's lotus feet. Remember them. Take shelter of them, and then they will become real. And always, that shelter will always be there for us. So I've gone over time. I don't know. Can we, is there time for questions? Or do you want to eat? Oh, kirtan next. Okay. Anyway. Questions? Yes, no? Okay, so we'll stop there then. Thank you very much for your association. Please, always, take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Shri Nityananda Ram Ki!
Jai!
Shri Nityananda Ram Ki!
Jai!
Shri Nityananda Ram Ki!
Jai!
Please.
Hare Krishna.